Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. To my loyal listeners, I hope you're all having a great day. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. Do me a favor, if you enjoy this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Also, if you want to hear me talk about true crime using the words that say it like it is, you know, the M word, the S word for unaliving, then please consider a membership or a Patreon membership. If I can get enough of those, then I don't have to rely on the ad revenue, and you can get tea of Bed Crime Stories uncensored. Now, with all that out of the way, let's dig in. You know how when someone famous dies, everyone comes out of the woodwork to share their experiences with that person? It usually goes one of two ways. One, we find out what a kind, generous man or woman they were. Or two, we find out that they were utter scoundrels. For example, when Elvis died, many people came out to say how generous he was. On the other hand, when Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots died, as his many fans said what a great person he was and how much they admired him, Weiland's son came out to say what an awful father he was, and his son laid bare the truth. Scott Weiland was a crap father who ignored his son. The son had never even been in his house. I believe that if you really want to know who someone is, live in the same neighborhood, particularly in the summer when the windows are open. I lived in the same small neighborhood throughout my childhood, and I knew which of my friends' fathers had the worst temper, which one was a heavy drinker. I also knew which of the mothers had major mental health issues. I knew which one of my friends was the best clarinet student and which one was the worst, me, who never practiced. When you live in the same neighborhood, you see and you hear everything. Well, the latest people to come forward with horror stories in the Sebastian Rogers case are the neighbors of Chris and Katie Proudfoot. And the consensus seems to be that pretty much no one in the hood likes Chris, and he's only been invited to one block party because of his aggressive, argumentative personality and profanity-laced conversation. Allegedly. I say allegedly because I haven't verified the neighbors myself, and thus I can't know for certain that these people are legitimate. But the stories told by these neighbors do seem to mirror what YouTuber Terry Lynn has said after talking to locals. But before I get into all of that, let me briefly touch on a recent call that Chris made to YouTuber Emma of Crime Stories Obsessed. I think he was trying to tone down his scratchy personality on the call. I think he's learned from the criticism he's received on YouTube that he's not doing himself any favors by being a condescending prick. You know what I mean. So I believe that Chris is trying to work on his public image. Now, unfortunately, if what his neighbors said about him, if that's all true, then he's even less likable than I previously thought. The neighbors described Chris as basically a bully of a stepfather. They accuse him of calling Sebastian the R word, a retard, also referring to him as Katie's retard. One neighbor also told a story of Chris pressure washing a vehicle in the driveway and Sebastian coming out of the house, and then Chris yelling at him and turning the hose on Sebastian, which naturally led the child to have a major meltdown. Katie Proudfoot supposedly had to come out and basically rescue Sebastian. Now, for a grown man to torment a child with special needs, with hurtful, esteem-destroying names and scary, painful physical experiences like this, that's unforgivable. And it's criminal, and it's abuse. And it makes me wonder if Chris Proudfoot was mistreated himself as a child, or if the other kids ever locked him in a dark room. Did the other children mock him because of his lisp? You have to be pretty small inside to pick on a kid like Sebastian. He's trying to act like a caring parent. But if the neighbors' stories are true, and those of Nina Gomez are also true, they paint a different picture. Chris, according to the neighbors, would typically cut out of work on Thursdays and then drive back to Hendersonville. So despite Chris saying he was away from home for nearly all of February, the neighbors are saying that is not true. They also say that he drinks a lot. And one neighbor overheard Chris say to Katie, "It's either him or me," meaning it's either Sebastian or me. Chris also allegedly said to Katie, "I don't think this marriage is going to last." Now remember, we heard Chris say that he's allergic to cats, and when he and Katie got together, he told her, "It's either me or the cats." And Katie, clearly lacking wisdom, opted to get rid of her cats. I think those cats were probably also Sebastian's cats. So Sebastian had to already give away something in order to have this lovely stepfather. I'm now wondering if things inside the Proudfoot home were degrading so much and so fast that Chris might have said, "Katie, I can't live with Sebastian anymore. And if you want to save the marriage, he has to go now." And maybe Chris wasn't willing to wait for the summer break when Sebastian was supposed to go live with his father, Seth Rogers. One of the big issues, according to the neighbors, was Sebastian wetting the bed and or soiling himself. Chris was apparently tired of smelling urine in Sebastian's room. Per the neighbors, Chris and Katie put a mattress in the garage, and that's allegedly where Sebastian was sleeping. This is a very disturbing allegation. If true, this may be why CPS turned up at the Proudfoot's home. I can't help thinking about Harmony Renee, aka Harmony Montgomery. When she was living with her father and stepmother in their car, Harmony, who had been potty trained, suddenly began experiencing incontinence. I mean, that's pretty much what led to her death. She was so traumatized by her violent father, the father and stepmother's erratic, drug-fueled lifestyle, and living in a car in the dead of winter, that Harmony could not stop from having accidents. And the more Adam Montgomery yelled at her, the more Harmony experienced these problems. And one day he reached back to her in the back seat and used his fists over and over and over until Harmony stopped moaning. With Chris, or shall we say Mr. Chris, calling Sebastian derogatory names, physically picking on him, and forcing him allegedly to sleep in a cold garage, Sebastian must have been very stressed out and very traumatized. It's no wonder he was having accidents. And by the way, if all of this is true, I want to know why Katie didn't protect Sebastian. Why didn't she leave that home with her child? Was she worried that Chris was going to make her ex-wife number 5? Or does she have a mean streak too? Chris apparently told the neighbors that Sebastian's classmates were calling him piss pants. Can you imagine this poor kid? He wasn't finding himself with friends or safe places anywhere he looked, maybe other than at school with his teachers. And yet he continued to smile that big, beautiful smile. We've heard before that Sebastian preferred fish to steak. He loved sushi and tofu. To me, this makes for a sophisticated palate. Well, according to the neighbors, Chris told Sebastian that, quote, "That's what blanks eat." Okay, fill the blank with the word maggot. Substitute the letter F. Yeah, that's another word Chris Proudfoot likes to call other people. I'm going to call him a word right now. P-O-S. The neighbor said that Chris is allegedly homophobic, and saying that to Sebastian would support this. One neighbor said his friend works at Texas Roadhouse, and a few weeks before Sebastian disappeared, Chris and the family were in the restaurant, and Chris apparently got so mad that his tater tots weren't hot enough that the family left the restaurant. If all of that is true, then Chris is a reactionary, quick to temper, non-emotionally intelligent man. And living with someone like that is not easy. So I'm wondering if Katie might have thought it was better for all parties if Sebastian was gone, as in permanently gone. I know it's hard to believe a mother would feel that way or do such a thing. It goes against everything mothers are known for. They're supposed to be nurturing and loving and your ride or die for life. But think about Lori Vallow-Daybell, Susan Smith, and so many others. Sebastian threw tantrums at times. He was peeing in his pants and wetting the bed. Could Katie have thought doing in Sebastian would be a merciful act? Sebastian had trouble finding friends, and he was likely loathed by Chris Proudfoot. Just my opinion, I'm speculating. A woman desperate to save a marriage might do just about anything to keep her man, even Chris Proudfoot. Hard to believe. We also learned this week that Katie's mother is an RSO. Was Katie ever mistreated as a child? Stuff like that can mess a young mind up. Was Katie insensitive to Sebastian's plight as well? One neighbor who was up and awake on the morning that Sebastian was reported missing says that he saw Katie searching with her car and that she was only gone for about 10 minutes. She only searched, according to this neighbor, for 10 minutes that morning. I bet Katie Proudfoot would drive farther and longer for a Starbucks coffee than to search for her son. I can't help thinking about Jacqueline and Trezell West, who reported Orin and Orson West missing. We know that the father did a very short drive to search for his two adopted sons. And we also know that it was the parents, Jacqueline and Trezell, who did in the two young boys. And Jacqueline and Trezell are both now serving life sentences. Good riddance, enjoy your life behind bars. So I'm going to say it again. I don't think we have to look beyond the family circle to find people with a motive to want Sebastian gone. Just my opinion. Again, could Katie have felt she was doing Bubba a favor? Maybe she didn't like the idea of Sebastian going to live with his biological father, Seth. Remember, she made a lot of accusations about Seth during their divorce. Maybe she felt that Sebastian wouldn't be safe with Seth or with Chris, and she wanted to keep Chris, and the only way to do that, remember it's either him or me, was to get rid of Sebastian. Thus, the only solution is a permanent one, as in getting rid of Sebastian. I'm speculating, but we've seen this before. So I'm gonna leave you with that and wish you a very happy weekend. And I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.